You're tuned into Madiba's Radio, broadcasting live from Nelson Mandela University.
I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against death domination. I have carried the idea of a democratic and free society, in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an idea for which I am prepared to die.
Nelson Mandela University. Change the world. Madiba's Radio, changing the world one voice at a time.
Of course, you're tuned into another amazing, epic, wonderful, absolutely iconic episode of the Science Package here at Madiba's Radio podcast, where we connect, inform, and engage. And of course, to introduce myself, my name is Tsoka Thelon Ndlovu. I like to call myself the brightest star on the airwaves. Once you know the clicks is on your space, nothing will ever be the same. And Science Package discusses all things STEM when it comes to science, technology, engineering, mathematics. We got you covered, or just anything that really interests me, because I like to say I'm a natural researcher at heart. So anything that's happening on our beautiful planet Earth, I want to know, and I want to facilitate these conversations with you so we can learn something and we can really strive to make a better future and also analyze the past sometimes. But of course, on this episode of Science Package, we have a lot to discuss, because essentially we have bullet trains that are coming to the country, which is very exciting. And then after that, we'll be discussing the rollout of smart poles in the city of Johannesburg, because we love Wi-Fi, we love internet connection. So to see that, listen, not only are we getting internet connection, it's free and it's accessible to all. Sign me up indeed. And then lastly, we'll be discussing the struggles and the plight and just the overall concerns of the farmers of citrus and macadamia farms in Eastern Cape specifically, because the farmers are complaining. And one thing about agriculture, if the agricultural industry has challenges, that affects us as citizens as well. But let's get straight into it. Now, our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, recently stated during the State of Nation address that South Africa shall be rolling out high-speed rail in the country. Now, if you know South Africa, which of course you do, I mean, if you don't, we still respect that. Our communication and our transport network is so broad and it's so vast, and it's very advanced, actually. We have many national highways. We have many rail lines. Our ports are booming, and just when it comes to logistics, we are just on top of things. So to see that we are taking transport to the next level is honestly exciting. Now, the goal of all of this is to connect major economic regions and reduce long-term travel between cities, because listen, as much as we have a beautiful country, it is a big country to think that going from city to city takes hours. And you know, yes, that's part of transport, and you know, we're not in a rush to go anywhere. At the same time, it's just convenient to know that you can be in Joburg and Durban and Cape Town and Port Elizabeth in half the time. Like, that's very exciting. Now, the first phase of this project is expected to focus on routes connecting Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and Limpopo. Now, some of these routes include Johannesburg to Musina and Johannesburg to Durban. Now, these routes are very essential because the Johannesburg to Musina route acts as a connection between South Africa and the country of Zimbabwe. And we have a lot of imports and exports between the countries, both on a large scale as well as a small scale as well. So I do feel like facilitating that route will really aid in that. And we all know that the Joburg to Durban route is the backbone of this country, if I may say, because the N3 is always full because there's so many trucks on the road importing, exporting, taking things from the port of Durban and then transporting them either by road or by rail to the city of Johannesburg, where it can thus be traded across the country. So I do feel like these routes are very important, and I love how the country is really capitalizing on this and notifying that, listen, we do need more options of transport, because not only is this gonna help in a more economic sense, it can also help in a more touristic sense and a more colloquial sense, to consider that even us as people, if we want to go to these places in a short amount of time, there's a train for us to do that with, because, you know, flight prices can be very expensive sometimes. So, and driving, as much as we love a good road trip, it can take a lot of time considering traffic and everything. Now, the idea is that these trains will travel much faster than the current transport options, making long distance travel more efficient, because we love efficiency. Now, according to the president, the current travel times between these major cities are too long for a modern economy. He's just like, listen, as much as we are in 2026, we need to act like we're in 2050. So travel times need to be cut short by half. Which I agree with, because it's actually crazy to think that, for example, from Joburg to Cape Town, to drive, it's like 12 hours, depending where in Joburg and Cape Town you are driving to and from. To Joburg to Durban, it's 6 hours. So it's just like, it's a long time. It's really a long time by car. And of course, flight is shorter, 1 hour, 2 hours, 1.5 hours. However, you know, flight prices these days are very crazy. So, you know, it's always great to have much more transport options in a country, because it really allows connection to be made much easier for citizens and for businesses. Because at the end of the day, if we have these high-speed trains and the time is reduced, the overall country and the way we engage and interact with each other will just improve by so much. Now, the government also states that there's a strong interest from private sector about this project. Around 30 companies have already shown interest in helping build and operate these high-speed rail networks. And I love that, because, yes, in South Africa, a lot of the time, we kind of, not to say villainize the private sector, but, you know, they're also not perfect too. But, you know, that's a whole other conversation. But it's so interesting to see how we can have so many more collaborations between the public sector and the private sector working together to really make our lives better. And I just hope that these bullet trains are not too costly, because we know, for example, with the Gautrain project, many people complain that, you know, yes, it helps with the connection within Joburg and Pretoria and O.R. Tambo International Airport, but at the same time, it's like, it's kind of costly. So it doesn't really cater for the majority of the population, because majority of the population cannot afford those prices. So you really got to consider that when building such projects. Now, the next step is for the government to release formal proposals to these companies so that they can bid and take part in the project, which is very interesting, because, you know, I hope these bids go well, because I really want this project to happen. And one of the first planned projects of this whole bullet train scenario is a route from Gauteng to Limpopo, which would run roughly around 500 kilometers from Pretoria through to Polokwane and ending at Musina. As you stated earlier, the connection between Joburg and Musina and the border between South Africa and Zimbabwe is a very important corridor. We really need to maintain it, and we really need to essentially ensure that there's efficiency and things just work out. Now, the project is currently undergoing feasibility studies and environmental assessments to determine whether this is truly possible financially, environmentally, because, yes, we can say, listen, let's build a bullet train, but if it's impacting the environment and it's expensive, then it's like, can we really? Because we don't want to run the country into debt for these bullet trains, because then it's like nobody will use them, and we don't want to destroy our beautiful country for them, because it's just like, now the bullet trains are going through nature reserves and just traditionally owned land and stuff like that. So we don't want that. So we want it done in a very ethical way. So if everything goes according to plan, construction could start around late 2026, with the first trains being expected to be operational by 2030. And one thing about our government, I do not want to complain, but maybe I'm just impatient. But I do feel like at the end of the day, 2030 is far. I mean, it is 4 years, and you know, such a large scale project does need time. But in an ideal world, I want it to be built like tomorrow. Like, imagine if tomorrow we can actually have these railroads built, established, and operational. That would be amazing. But you know what? We'll give them a chance. At the end of the day, these things do take time. Good things always take time. So hopefully when 2030 rolls around, because it's going to roll around very quickly, these trains are actually operational. But some people, especially African citizens, are a bit skeptical because South Africa has announced many other projects to a similar scale before, especially regarding rail in the past, but they've never fully materialized. Now, which is true, there's been so many projects. This is not the first bullet train announcement that South Africa has had. We've had another one that's focused on Joburg to Durban. We've had another one that's Joburg to Cape Town. So it's just like, what makes this one different? Especially, does it make it different because the president is announcing it? Or does it have governmental backing? So I understand South Africa's skepticism because it's like, is this truly feasible or are we just dreaming? So I hope that it's feasible, and I hope that the government and the private sector can really work together to curate this project. Because one thing, if this project is a success, the full country can change and just move into the future much quicker. Not to say we're not in the future, but, you know, it would be nice to have such rail in our country, like a first world country. Because, you know, there's always a debate as to whether is Africa a first world country, are we third world? I would say we're in between. We're very much so in between. So maybe with this project, we'll move slowly towards being a first world country, which would be very interesting. Overall, the proposed bullet train aims to modernize Africa's transport infrastructure, shorten travel times between major cities, and potentially boost the economic activity through better connectivity. Because if the economy is doing well, then we as the people are happy because we have peace of mind. We can do things. We can really enjoy our lives. So it's very interesting. And I hope that this project is a success. And I hope when 2030 is here, we could actually get on these trains and use them and really explore our country in a new, more modern way. And that would be very beautiful. And speaking of technological advancements, Johannesburg, the lovely, lovely city of gold, also wants to push into the future with the installation of smart poles with free Wi-Fi. Now, Johannesburg is often considered the country's richest city because of the amount of economic activity that occurs there. It's just the city of gold for a reason. Now, the city has started to roll out smart poles that provide free public Wi-Fi and other digital services to communities. And the first rollout is set to take place in Slovo Park, which is an informal settlement in the south of Johannesburg. And I love how they're actually starting the project in informal settlements rather than the city, because for example, with the Gautrain, as you stated, it's like, it's a beautiful project, but the areas that they chose, yes, they are popular areas. They're areas where a lot of people work and reside. But when you look at the demographics and the population, it's like those areas are not where the people are. And those areas are not where, for example, majority of the population stay, and the prices are not what they can afford. So the fact that they're starting straight in the informal settlement is beautiful, and it really shows that we are catering to all citizens of this country, because that's what we need, especially because in these areas, oftentimes Wi-Fi signal is poor or just completely non-existent. And we can't have that in 2026. We need good Wi-Fi connection because internet is the future. Internet is everything. And without internet, it's hard to stay with the times. Now, these smart poles are not just street lights. They're designed to act as smart technology hubs that bring connectivity and safety features to residents. Each pole can provide high-speed 4G and 5G connectivity with free Wi-Fi that allows people to access internet without paying for mobile data. Because data is so expensive these days. Like, yo, the amount of money that you spend on data in a month is actually insane, when you could be spending that money on other things that can improve your life. Like soft skills and just your hobbies as well. So to find out that with these smart poles, a big financial burden will be alleviated is a beautiful thing. It's truly beautiful. Now, in addition to this, poles will also include energy efficient LED lighting, CCTV cameras, And emergency panic buttons can be used to alert authorities during dangerous situations. Because listen, as much as we want Wi-Fi, we also want to live in a safe country. And we know that South Africa can be dangerous at times. It can be very dangerous. So the fact that not only are they giving us free internet, but they're also keeping our safety in mind. Like, this is a beautiful project. And I love how it's catering towards many things that need to be addressed in South Africa, specifically in informal settlements. So applause to the government, applause to the government. Now, these polls are meant to improve both digital access and community safety at the same time. And city officials say that part of Johannesburg's broader smart city strategy focuses on using technology to improve public services and make cities more connected and efficient. Because if you have a city that provides all services, then it's truly a beautiful thing. We really gonna move into the future. And with the smart city project, I hope this doesn't end in Joburg. I hope it goes to every city. I hope we can see it here in Port Elizabeth, because, you know, sometimes these things stay in the big cities and then smaller towns and smaller cities get neglected. So hopefully once they test it out in Joburg, it can be rolled out everywhere. And if not, then, you know, at least, hey, they tried. According to the city, the goal is to ensure that even poorer communities are included as well, because they need access to online education, government services, and communication tools. Because a lot of the time, as we said before, these communities get neglected. They get left behind to the point where they often say South Africa has the biggest inequality gap, where it's like, when we're first world, we're first world. But when we're third world, we're so third world. And there's nothing wrong with being third world, don't get me wrong. But it's like, we can't have these inequalities continue going further, because we all want to advance into the future, regardless of where we come from. So if we're all moving together, then all of these services should be provided to all. Now, overall, this rollout of these smart poles show that South Africa and its cities are beginning to explore technological-driven solutions to improve connectivity, safety, and service delivery, especially in underserviced communities, which is a beautiful thing. And I'm so proud of this project, and I hope that it's successful. I hope nothing happens to the poles, because we know sometimes, hey, vandalism happens. But I pray that, listen, it's just successful, and it's just going to be an amazing thing. Now, let's take it back to Eastern Cape, because we love our beautiful province of Eastern Cape, where things go down, many industries, our ports, our farms. But today, we're specifically going to be looking at the farms, because there are currently challenges on our farms, specifically the citrus and macadamia farms. A new report from the Parliament has raised concerns about challenges on these farms, as these agricultural projects were originally created to help and develop a new generation of black farmers, particularly in Eastern Cape. However, according to these insights, many of these projects are struggling due to several structural problems. You know, we want to grow our citrus, the oranges, the limes, the lemons, macadamia nuts, to really improve our economy and really allow us, the citizens, to have our fruits, to allow the farmers to be able to gain an income and really spread the fruits of society, essentially. But these structural problems are really hindering them from doing that, because one of the biggest issues is poor infrastructure, especially on rural roads. Farmers say that the damaged roads make it difficult to transport fruits to pack houses and markets. And in some cases, even the long and rough journeys can even affect the quality of these fruits, because listen, when you're driving on a rough road and the road is not maintained and it's windy and it's just a lot is going down, by the time the fruit gets to the markets, either it's expired, half the stock is gone, it's just not looking cute. And then inversely, that affects us as consumers, because now these fruits become more expensive and less readily available. So we lose on both ends because of these problems. Another challenge as well is also the high packing fees and the lack of transparency at pack houses. Now, these facilities process and prepare foods for sale, but some farmers say they do not fully understand how the costs are calculated or how the facilities are managed, which is very interesting, because I understand what they're saying, because they're saying a lot, but they're keeping it cute. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're really saying something, but they're saying it in a very polite way. But we see what you're saying. We see what you're trying to say, that the math is not mathing. The math is not mathing. And because of this, this lack of transparency makes it difficult for farmers to plan their finances and to earn a profit. And not only that, there's also so many funding delays from the government support programs, which is also creating problems. For example, the Ngcera Macadamia Project, which received nearly 196 million rand in state funding, has experienced payment delays, imagine, that has caused cash flow issues, salary delays for workers, and even labor disputes. So if people are not getting paid, if the money is being delayed and now economically it's looking murky, then it just causes so many issues, and it just causes the whole industry to be put at a pause. And once you put that at a pause, a lot of problems start. This also gets very political as well, because there are also land ownership issues, with some farmers still waiting for title deeds going back decades. And without this official land ownership documents, it becomes much harder for these farmers to access loans or investments from banks. And we know when it comes to land, land is a very sensitive topic in the country. We won't be going into that now, but you know, one thing about the land disputes and everything, yeah, it does affect how things run, especially for the future, because if the land that we are growing and planting on, regarding ownership and stuff like that, if it's looking murky and there's a lot of conflicts regarding that, then production pauses, because it's just like, okay, like we can't move because A, B, and C. Now, in response to these challenges, the government is saying, listen, we're going to try our best to really fix this, because it is really messing up with the economy. Us as consumers, now we're going to pay like 100 rand for oranges. Imagine, like, we can't be doing that. We cannot be doing that in 2026, because fruit's already expensive. And I've noticed that, especially in Eastern Cape, for some reason, fruits are very expensive. I don't know why. Or maybe it's the way I shop that's expensive. I don't know. But fruits are very expensive. Now, the government is saying that they're going to work together with private entities as well to improve these infrastructures, fix funding delays, and ensure farmers gain the skills and support needed to build sustainable agricultural businesses, because they do need the support and they do really need for their issues to be addressed. And once these issues get addressed, then hopefully things can move forward. But the question is the government going to stand on their word? Are they really going to address these issues, especially in a short amount of time, because it is like pressing? Or are they just saying a lot, but the action is not actioning? So I hope that the government takes their word and keeps their word as well, and we can really have the farmers just live better lives, make things for them much easier. So I hope the best for the farmers, I hope the best for the government as well, and I hope all these issues get solved, because I love citrus, so I don't want them to have problems anymore, because hey, once it starts to have problems, things start to look very murky. But this has been an amazing episode. We've discussed many things, from bullet trains to high-speed poles to citrus farms and macadamia farms. And overall, what I can say is that South Africa is truly moving into the future. It's not perfect at times. Sometimes we need to go back to the drawing board and rewrite things, but that's okay. That's a part of life. So I do hope that all these projects have success, and I do hope that we continuously strive to make the country a better place and to really go into a future that is looking bright and successful. And I'm just very excited about all these projects. But once again, this has been Science Package, same time, same place next week, where we discuss more STEM. My name is Kutelo Ndlovu, and if you want to engage with me, firstly, actually, before you do that, engage with Madiva's Radio, because we are worldwide, international baby. So follow us and engage with us on all social media platforms. We are on X, we are on YouTube, we are on Facebook, we are on Instagram. Any social media platform that exists, we are there. You can even find us on LinkedIn. Who knows? You might get a job. I can't promise anything, but you may get lucky. And of course, you can engage with me on Instagram at Tsiko Kitelo Ndlovu, and on Facebook at Tsiko Kitelo Ndlovu. Once again, this has been the Science Package, signing out.
Oh yes, I like it. Madiba's Radio.